think it is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Saturday afternoon. We're grateful for God's tender mercies and His compassion toward us, and I'm thankful that Jesus loved me enough to be my substitute and die the death of a sinner, yet He knew no sin, but became sin for me personally that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the only way to become righteous or right in the sight of God Almighty is to be justified. And the only way to be justified is through His atoning blood. The Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. The Bible said He was delivered for offense, that's our sins, raised again for our justification. That's one thing to know about Him, another thing to know Him personally. I knew about Him all my life. As I said many a time, as a little boy, and as a young teenager, and as a young man, I always knew Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but that didn't get me saved. I didn't know Him personally. When He got alive in me, and I experienced a second birth, that's the Lord from heaven, I was born to the incorruptible seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. When He got alive in me, transformed me, changed me, quickened me, and made me alive, then of course I became, thank God, an heir of God, and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do have already a gift of eternal life. I don't ever have to worry about perishing and dying in sin and going to hell. Jesus is the Savior of all mankind, dying for sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom He was chief, and I know that I was wretched and vile and wicked, without hope and on my way to hell. Not that I was, of course, vile as some folk live, but I was vile enough to go to hell because all of us are sinners. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We've all, like sheep, gone astray, but the Lord laid the iniquities all upon Him. By His stripes only can you get healed. The healing balm, the chief physician. He is the Savior of all mankind. The Bible said, went on to say, especially to them that believe. That's when He becomes personal. That's when He gets alive in you. That's when He transforms you. And you're born a second time. That's the second birth. That's a spiritual birth. First man's an earthly man. The second man, of course, is Adam. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. God had to quicken his spirit because he was dead in trespass and sin. Ephesians chapter 2 said, ye who were, Paul writing to Christians at Ephesus, ye who were dead in trespass and sin, you have to be quickened and made alive. He must quicken you, beloved. He's got to revive you from a state of death. You're dead in sin, and you're without hope no matter what you may do, what you might try to accomplish. I don't care how many times you join up the church, how many times you get baptized in water. I don't care how much you try to keep the Word of God, beloved. You can't get saved by doing those kind of righteous acts, and they are righteous, and of course, so is water baptism. That's an act of righteousness that you do, beloved. It's got nothing to do with your salvation. You do that because you are saved. That signifies very the old man and raising up the new. The only baptism essential to salvation is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why Paul said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But the baptism essential to salvation is the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. You're baptized into His body, beloved. When your sins are forgiven, placed under His blood, and He gets alive in you and transforms you, changes you, quickens you, makes you alive, and gives you the free gift of eternal life. Born again, thank God, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You must be, Jesus said, born again. Now Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was one of the elders of the Jew, and he was a just man as far as wanting to do good things and right things. He defended the Lord Jesus on one occasion. Of course, he was sick and searching. He knew he was missing something. He was very, very religious, and I believe he tried to conduct himself in a godly manner. He knows something was missing in his life, and he came to the right source. He came to the Lord Jesus by night. And of course, he wanted to know what it was, and the Lord Jesus got right down to where he lived, and he got down to his need. He said, "Very, very, I've seen except the man be born again. He cannot, will not enter in the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says, "How can an old man like myself be born a second time in the back of mother's womb, be born again?" And the Lord explained that to me. He said, "That's a fleshly birth you're talking about. That's a water birth. You've got to be born of water, all right, and of the Spirit of God. You've got to be born a second time. That's the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Of course, he sinned. And because of sin, he was separated, alienated from God Almighty, cast out of the garden of paradise, or the garden need, brother, and got pushed out of it because of sin. He was alienated and separated from God as far as relationship and fellowship was concerned, not citizenship, brother. He was created a son of God. But let me tell you something. He was alienated and separated, and he had to have reconciliation. That's why the Lord, in the very beginning, took a little lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, and got the shed his blood, and of course the blood made the offering. That is the covenant for sin. It signified God's lamb that was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that would have to come one day, prophesied by the prophets, Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of living God, would have to come. And he did come, brother, and he made the atonement. Calvary, when he died, the Bible said he was bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was upon him, and by his stripes, thank God, you healed. The healing balm, the chief physician, he's a savior of all mankind. Thank God for that, and especially to them that believe. That's when it becomes personal, when it gets alive in you, and transforms you, and changes you, and quickens you, brother, and makes you alive. The operation of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot, will not be saved, brother, if somebody's got life and light in them. Somebody's saved, brother, brings the word of God to you. You see, the blind cannot lead the blind. They're all going to fall into ditch. God called people for salvation, and brother, when they accept, they receive it, they get saved, born again. That is the second birth, the Lord from heaven, a spiritual birth, the first man, an earthly birth, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Thank God I experienced that birth, the second birth, 44 wonderful years ago. I mean, it changed me completely. I didn't have to put on a chaser to do better than stop my smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling, brother. It quit me. When I got saved, God put a new nature, a divine nature, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, brother, and it automatically turned me around, changed me completely, beloved, on the inside and the outside, cleaned up automatically, all those kind of things, beloved. I had no desire to run that way any longer, to live like that any longer. I was a new creation. The old man died. I crucified the old man so far as the desires and the flesh was concerned, and I gave myself up and come to God just like I was, with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. That's the only thing I could bring. The Bible said the sacrifice of God is a broke heart and a contrite spirit. You don't have anything to offer, beloved, that would do for you to get saved. Outside your repentant heart, your broke heart, your contrite spirit, beloved, you get like that and we call on him as such, God, to have mercy upon your sinner. I promise you, I guarantee you, if you're in earnest and God's dealing with you and you're broke and crushed and remorse and repentant, I can guarantee you positively, beloved, the Lord will save you and take you just like you are, cleanse you up, beloved, sanctify you, and make a brand new creature out of you. The old things that pass away, all things that come new to you when you get saved. Now remember, my daddy, and I'm going to answer the prayer, and I've got brothers that saved, and my mother laid it over and prayed over. She was saved at a young, early age, and my daddy got saved when he was about 64 years old. Now, before he got saved, he was under heavy conviction. He quit his smoking, he quit his drinking, he quit his cussing, quit everything you think about, brother. That didn't get him saved. He was finally got down to where he gave himself up, and he asked God to have mercy upon him, a sinner. He gave himself up, submitted himself to the Lord, called on him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Then, brother, he got saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not tongue in cheek. That's not man in mouth, brother. That's the heart. Now, the heart means the death of you, the immortal, the eternal you, this house and that earthly house, that body, that tabernacle of clay that you're living in. Man's a trinity. He's soul, spirit, and body, brother. Inside the body, there's a soul. Inside the soul, there's an eternal spirit. That's the eternal man, the immortal man, brother. That's the part you've got to come with, brother, with a broke heart, the real you, the eternal you, with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're talking about a genuine act of godly sorrow. The Bible said, the sorrow of the world, of course, will bring forth death. But godly sorrow and repentance not to be repented of. Praise God, when you get remorse and broke and contrite, I'll guarantee the Lord will hear your cry and to save you, beloved, and to give you eternal life. Salvation to free you, beloved. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. You can't obtain it by any good act that you do, by trying to keep the word of God. You can't keep the word of God so far as all the word of God is concerned. If you see the law, look at the law, you'll find that if you offend in one thing, you're guilty as a sinner. Beloved, all of us sinners, the world shaped in iniquity and born in sin. We have a sinful, shameful, Adamic, depraved, beloved, nature about this wretched flesh. And we're housed in this body, beloved. Even though I'm saved, I still have temptation. That's part of being human. And I don't want to run after it. Maybe I try to go after it. Beloved, I'm trying to run a good race and fight a good fight and keep the faith set before me looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. What he started, I don't have to worry about holding on and holding out. Praise God, he's got a hold on me. I'm in the hell of his hand. And brother, it's nothing ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. Said my sheep have eternal life. That means everlasting life. Brother didn't say anything. If you could lose it, then you wouldn't have eternal life. But he said my sheep have eternal life. They won't ever perish. No man, he said, they will pluck them out of my hand. Praise God, he has not 30, 60, 90 day plan. What the plan he's got, eternal. Praise God, listen to me, listen real closely. If you get saved by the grace of God, I guarantee you, God will take out that old swine's nature, that dog's nature that signifies an unclean nature. And brother, you have an unclean nature. You have a shameful nature, a depraved nature. You have an old Adamic nature, brother, inside you, brother, because of sin. It's overwhelmed you, brother, and you're dead in trespass and sin. God must quicken you. You, he were dead in Ephesians 2, the scripture said, in trespass and sin, you have been quickened and made alive. God will quicken, brother, your dead spirit. He'll quicken you, make you alive, transform you, and change you, and put you in newness of life. Thank God, I know that be a positive fact. Now I'm a saved Baptist. Most Baptists need to get saved. Most of them Pentecostals and all these other denominations, but the majority of them need to get saved. They have a lip service and a head knowledge and an empty heart. They've never experienced a new birth. They get emotional, they jump up and down, hoop and holler and channel like a bunch of fools. Brother, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm being truthful. They don't know him as their personal savior. They're just in the fantasy of their mind. They're in a state of a fableness. Brother, that's just a fable. The word of God is a fable to them. It's not really real to them, brother. He's not alive in them. They've never been transformed. They've never been changed. They've never been quickened and made alive, brother. They're just poor, pitiful, lost church members, brother. And God have mercy. The God was saved, that said they were saved. We'd evangelize the whole world. God have mercy, brother. Not many people saved, but Jesus died for the sin of the world. Whosoever, thank God, I'm glad that included me, a vile sinner. Praise God, the song said, I'm glad that Jesus included me. Yes, sir. He included me in his great plan of salvation, and he gave me the free gift of eternal life, brother. And I've been saved for 44. For wonderful years, brother. And I'm not much of anything. Don't claim to be, brother. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, sir. God saved sinners. Brother, I was a sinner, dead in trespass and sin. I couldn't help myself, blinded by the god of this world. Now, you have no life in you, no light in you, brother. And there's nothing you can do about that condition. The only thing you can do when God speaks to you and deals with it, gives you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, you can come to him, brother, just like you are. The bull caught in the contrite spirit. Strong after God besought, brother, and that's God have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus, I know you died for me. I know you're the Son of God, and I want you as my personal Savior, not tongue in cheek, but God have mercy upon me, a sinner. You cry out to him, the Son of Sin, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry, thank God, and delivered him out of all his troubles, brother. You're in trouble this afternoon if you're not saved. God have mercy on you. You need to come to the shore where the lighthouse is, brother, and get saved and born again. If you don't do that, you'll miss heaven. God have mercy on you. See my time just about going right to us. Pray for us, and God bless you. I pray in his name. Amen.